We're back, listeners, and it's time for another episode of the Novel Expressions Book Club. I'm Natalie, the youngest sister.
I'm Jess, the middle sister.
I'm Pam, the oldest sister.
And I'm Nancy, their mom.
Today, we're discussing The Last Letter from Your Lover by JoJo Moyes. So when did we read this originally? We should have looked up the purchase history.
Well, I can tell you, I'll look in Goodreads. I want to say like 2014 or 2015.
So it's been a minute.
Yes. So I'm thinking it's maybe one of the first ones we read by her. Is my guess.
Is that possible?
I'm looking to see if I can tell. Oh, of course, no. It's not showing me because it's showing me this time.
Sure. Okay. So it's been a while. This was definitely one I didn't remember well.
Okay, so it's on my 2015 shelf. I just looked in Goodreads. And that's exactly what I want to kick us off with. I'm questioning, did I really read it? Or did I add it to my Goodreads shelf because somebody else did? I felt like Jennifer for a lot of the book. And I'm not like making fun, like I legit could not remember. You know how usually you start and you think, oh, I don't remember that, but there's something. I kept waiting for that something. And I don't think I ever came across it. There were other things that it reminded me of, like other books that it reminded me of, but I'm not so sure I read it.
I felt exactly the same way. I kept waiting for that recognition of the book, and like Pam is saying, it literally never happened for me. Even when I finished it, I was like, nope, I don't think I've read it.
Well, I know I read it, but I will say that when we talked about what book we were going to read, I was thinking of a completely different book. So I know I read it because I did remember parts of it, but amnesia, I just can't even imagine what that would be like. To not know your family, to go into a house and feel like it was strange to you, to not know who you are, to not know how you interacted with other people, like her housekeeper and her husband and her friends. I mean, that would just be so, so difficult. Not know who you were. And so how did people respond to you? Did they generally like you? Did they not? You know, none of this stuff. And of course, her husband kept everything in the dark as well. He did not help her at all. Of course, he wasn't much of a husband either, so.
That's what's so scary about it is because she didn't remember any of that. People completely could have taken advantage of her, and obviously her husband did, but I mean, anyone could have because she didn't remember anything.
No, that's right.
And that's what I kept thinking. I kept thinking, how do you know who to trust? Because you don't have any recollection whatsoever.
Right. Although when she slept with him, she remembered that it was unremarkable.
True.
Oh, there were some sensory things that she remembered, I guess you could say. Well, I will tell you, I spent the majority of the time frustrated while reading this book. There were so many missed opportunities, so many lies. And I kept thinking, I'm so glad we have cell phones today. Because a lot of the things didn't, you know, happened because there was no way of contacting somebody. And today I don't leave the house without my cell phone. I take it from room to room with me. And, you know, so it's in my house, but I still carry it with me to another room. When I'm cooking in the kitchen, it's upstairs on the counter or whatever. So how frustrating.
I have a smartwatch that will tell me when someone calls or texts me, and I still carry it from room to room. If I go into the kitchen during my workday, I'm taking it with me.
We have serious cases of FOMO, I guess, huh?
It's bad.
So
true. Maybe it's because we have the information and the ability to do those things, but I can't imagine just letting it go. I mean, okay, I know Jennifer did follow Boot. I mean, that was serious. She was not messing around when she got on those planes to go to the Congo, you know, but then to come back home and to never check on what, I don't know. I just feel like you keep checking and Why didn't he check? I'm also mad at Dawn for lying to her. Mm-hmm. Like mom said, so many lies. And so I guess there's a lot of good dramatic irony, but it was so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I really liked is, so I loved it, but I also hated it because it made me so crazy. But I just felt like the story was so drawn out in a good way. And because we found out just like little tidbits of information all along the way, and it was, you know, little by little, there was such good suspense in this book. Like you never fully really knew everything until the end. And it made me crazy, but in a good way.
Yeah. One of those examples like that, Jess, is when Lawrence doesn't throw the letter from Boot away in chapter 6. And yet we don't realize how it's going to be used against him until way, way later in the book when he fires his secretary. And thankfully, she picked that up and then had the opportune time to use it against him when she gave it to Jenny. But I thought how arrogant he is that he thinks that no one would ever dare do anything to cross him. He was just so used to getting his own way and having everything the way he prescribed it to be. And I was so glad he got it. He got his comeuppance.
Me, I was super glad that his assistant turned on him, especially after how he treated her, being like, you're replaced effective immediately. And he had slept with her. And then to just go and be like, new girl, sorry, you're done. Like, that's grimy. So I was super, even though she didn't like Jenny, she seemed like, you know, in about her.
That's because she was in love with Lawrence.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, she truly was in love with him.
I think she also thought Jennifer was maybe snotty or, you know, snooty kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was just really glad that she did the right thing.
I think a lot of times when you're not the wife and your boss is larger than life, it would be easy to think that he must be perfect. And so anyone who doesn't treat him like the god that you think he is must be wrong. And I think what the secretary found out was, oh, he was a total jerk. It was Jenny who really she should have been siding with.
Well, and in that, she redeemed herself because I was super annoyed with her. I felt like, you're a secretary, lady. Like, why are you acting like this? Like, what you're doing for him is the most important job in the world, you know? And she was like mean to the other girls and just very judgmental and nasty. And she kind of annoyed me. But I also felt sorry for her because I thought, oh, she doesn't see him for who he is. So I was really glad that she had the guts to do what she did because that was major. I mean, mm-hmm. she could have really stuck it to him. But to, like you said, to go give that to Jennifer and let her handle it, although I think I would have handled it differently. But that's a whole other story. Mm. Let's talk about Larry for a second. That's what I'm calling him on this one, because Lawrence sounds sophisticated. And the fact that his business, first of all, it was interesting to read about asbestos and think like, ooh, that's bad. Right. We know that's bad. And they think it's this up and coming amazing product. So that was kind of a cool thing. But then to realize he knew it was bad. He knew it was causing problems. And he's paying people off who are like, deathly ill and paying off families of people who died. So that just, oh, that did it for me with him. Like, no redeeming him after that.
Mm-hmm. But that has been something through the years that big companies have done. They have known, you know, the whole, what was her name? That really popular.
Erin Brockovich.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. That was all about the company knowing that they were causing harm. I mean, the whole opioid thing, all the oxycodone. That's all, you know, that was, they all knew that people were going to get addicted to it and it was going to cause a loss of life. That's why there have been these $1 million lawsuits against them. That's why now if you're in real pain, you can't actually get something you need because they're afraid to give it to you now. So yeah, it certainly wasn't the first time, but it was cool because I remember, you know, the whole asbestos thing. And discovering it and then trying to remove it. And then of course, now you have a place that you can call if you handled asbestos. What is it? Mesothelioma or something? Like they have a million commercials about it. So yeah, it was kind of interesting that far long ago.
But also not that long ago. That's what I think is so interesting too, is like it really wasn't
Right.
That many years ago.
I think there are probably still some places that have it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that they have to do careful removal and things like that.
Yeah, actually, if you ever watch any of those fixer-upper type shows, oftentimes they'll go into a house and they'll discover that there's asbestos in the flooring or somewhere. And so then they have to leave. Everybody has to leave and the people come in with their suits and they remove it safely. So yeah, it still is in some places.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I kind of wanted that file to be handled a little differently. Mm-hmm. Not just like left for boot. Although I know she thought that he could use that store. I just felt like that was kind of a careless, like if you have something like super important, you're going to handle it differently. You're going to give it to somebody, make sure, confirm, whatever. I don't know. So that was kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, just to leave it. Not so much that she wasn't giving it to Boot was a good idea, but she didn't give it to Boot. She gave it to somebody to give to Boot. And because that person was not approving of her, it got lost in the shuffle. Yeah, that was very frustrating.
So I want to go back to these letters for a minute. Oh my gosh, if my husband ever wrote me letters like that, those were so intimate and so beautiful. And what's funny is I don't condone affairs, but I was rooting for Jenny and Boot the entire time, even though I knew what they were doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. But something about those letters and that intimacy, they needed to get together.
Well, I think part of it was we knew what creep Lawrence was, Larry was. I think the other part is that Boot was very reluctant to be that guy who would have an affair with a married woman. And she was really the pursuer and I think those things made it less offensive to us, I guess. It's the best way to say it, to read about it.
I agree. I thought there was something more with that, sorry. All right, so I also want to mention Mrs. Cordoza. Is that how you guys would say it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cordoza. So the housekeeper. You know, when Jennifer first got home from the hospital, I was like kind of suspicious of her. Like, I don't know. I just wasn't sure about her. But when we eventually learn what had happened prior to Jennifer's accident, And especially the part, it kind of cracked me up when she shared the part about her husband and how it was custom to blacken the windows when your husband died and how she like cleaned hers so well because obviously he was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And anyway, just how she helped her in that moment because she realized how miserable she was. And then also helped her later as well. I just appreciated her loyalty and her kindness. She still did her job, you know, what she was hired to do by Lawrence. But I liked her. And I'm with you, Jess. I don't condone the affair, but I just liked her helping.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think also maybe part of the whole, like going back to the not condoning the affair, but reading about it being set in the French Riviera, I was condoning that for sure. That location was all about that. I think it'd be hard to not have an affair there.
So only go there with your husband, Natalie.
Yeah, like if your husband's there with you, easy to not have an affair. But if he goes off to work and do his best stuff.
Okay, well, let your husband know.
No work trips there.
I was jealous about the French Riviera.
Yes, it sounded amazing.
Yeah. So another person I want to bring up is Yvonne. Not a good friend after all. What the heck? And like we've said, I agree that Jennifer should not have done what she did, but Yvonne is just worried about appearances. If she truly cared about Lawrence, like, Jennifer, you can't do this. He's your husband. You took a vow. Like, that's not what she's saying.
Nope.
She's saying like, how's this going to look? And I can't be associated with you. And this could mess up everything. And I was just like, because for a little while there, I thought she's a good friend. She's going to help Jennifer get back on her feet, you know, help her remember what's important. But then when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, this lady's a mess. Not a good friend.
Yeah, I think with what bugged me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what bugged me about that is it felt like she and her husband had a pretty good relationship.
Yes.
And they could, you know, like they actually loved each other. And she saw how Lawrence treated Jenny. So I felt like she should be rooting for Jenny to be happy. And all she cared about was the way it looked.
Yeah. I was going to say that aside from Mrs. Cordova, really the Cordosa, whatever her name was, the person who, Jennifer was really alone. She had nobody on her side, not her friends, not her husband. She had
family,
not her mother. Her mother just wanted her to forget about everything. She had no one. Mm-hmm. That was so sad.
So let's jump to the more modern time, because Ellie's friends, on the other hand, are good friends because they're blatantly honest with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it might have been hard for her to hear sometimes, but I think that they recognize not only was what she was doing was wrong, but they also recognized that the guy was a jerk. You know, he was definitely no boot. That's for darn sure. I mean, he was just stringing her along. And so anyway, I just like their friendship because I don't think you see that a lot where women who are just totally honest with each other. Like almost to the point sometimes where they seem mean. And that's how she and her friends were.
And honestly, I liked Boots and Jenny's relationship, but I hated John. And I also hated the way Ellie was when she was with him. And that scene where the wife was the one who showed up and said that she knew about it, I was cheering for that wife at that moment. Because I was like, Ellie, you shouldn't be with him. John, you don't deserve Ellie. I just wanted that to be over immediately.
Yeah, that was a really powerful scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
And I agree with you, Jess. I didn't dislike Ellie, but I disliked Ellie with John. Like, yes. It was like she became this 14-year-old girl mm-hmm. with him. It was silly.
Yeah, she couldn't say no. She gave him whatever he wanted. She couldn't stick up for herself.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the other hand, I love Rory. Mm-hmm. He kind of reminded me of Hector a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just that very like confident, like he met her, he knew what he wanted, but he also knew, I don't want strings attached, like this is the way it happens with me. I don't know, just took her out for some fun, kind of got her to get back to herself, you know, and get rid of this. I don't know. I just really liked Rory. Also, I liked his relationship with the old librarian. I thought mm-hmm. that was cute.
Mm-hmm. And he had like a code, which I think was nice. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this. I don't cross these boundaries, whatever. And stuck to it, like no judgment, but like, this is what I want to do and believe in, which I thought was nice. Yeah.
And part of that stemmed from something that had happened to him, right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
And then when he thought that she wasn't with John anymore, and he was with her, mm-hmm. and then he was like, see you later.
What an awkward thing to hear the night or the morning after when you're waiting there for her to bring back breakfast, mm-hmm. and then you hear that voicemail, ugh.
Yeah.
Which, again, we've talked about this in other books, but voice like an answering machine in a house and right. how like not private that is compared to voicemail on your phone. That takes me back to Firefly Lane.
Yep, yeah.
Right? Yeah. She calls and leaves that super embarrassing message.
Yep.
It was multiple messages. Like she kept calling back, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that was in the
Netflix were in there version. Listening yeah. to it all.
It was. Yeah.
That just makes me laugh all over again. Okay. So another thing I really love when we finally figure out the old librarian, Anthony, you know, when he gives Ellie Rory's address and tells her, go there. Don't write a letter, go there. Because of his experience. It's like he doesn't want somebody else to have this missed opportunity, this just miss you by hours or whatever. You know, he just gives her some really good advice to just go after him.
And you know, this was the part of the book that I did not remember, because when I got to the last sentence in chapter 24,
I gasped when I found out that Anthony was the librarian. It was like, why didn't I remember that? That was such a pivotal part of the story. And yet I had forgotten it. I had forgotten so much of this book. So that was, it was like reading it for the very first time. I loved that.
And I love how we found out about it, that like it was through his son. And I was really happy to then go back and learn that like he reconnected with his son. Cause that was the one piece of boot, like, okay, yeah, I don't condone affair with a married woman, but I also really don't condone just ditching your child,
right?
Like your career, even though like his wife definitely made things difficult for sure. But I was happy to know that like he stepped up when the time called for it and had a good relationship with his son. And then like, it was just such a cool way for it to come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Also cool that it's what kept him home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helped make that, I'm not going to go back out there. This mm-hmm. is where I need to be.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, for me, the last five or so chapters were so gratifying. I just enjoyed everything unraveling, everything being shown. Just, it was great. I just loved reading those last five. Up until that point, it was frustration, frustration, frustration. But the last five were good.
And I think what I really liked in those last chapters was, because the whole time, since Ellie was struggling with her job because of John, I was really afraid that she was going to exploit Jenny's and Booth's love. And so I'm so thankful that in the end, she just decided to write something that didn't mention them. It didn't actually include any of the letters. And it was more just about love letters. And so she could leave there that intimacy out of it and leave that alone. I'm really glad she made that decision.
Yeah, and it might have ultimately saved her career with how she wrote it.
Mm-hmm. And it does go ahead.
I was just going to say, and she worked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She went out and got those letters.
And she'll have a follow-up story as a result, which is good.
Yeah.
The other thing that this is the same thing again, like I hated it because I just wanted to know more. So that scene at the very end where Boot is waiting at that bench and Jenny gets out of the car and walks up to him, like I felt like we needed to know more. I felt like mm-hmm. we needed to see that. But also I kind of understand why JoJo would make that choice and just let it be, you know, without going any further. But it made me a little bit crazy.
Right, like what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
But then you can fill in the blanks.
And one of the things that I feel like we know about JoJo now is she'll let her readers feel some pain, I think about some of the books we've read by her that have been so good, but so tough, you know, to read and to think about. And she's okay with letting that be because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point. I was thinking today, just reminiscing about this book, because I've since read another one. And I was thinking about how keeping that post office box for all those years. Imagine just in the slim chance, the slim hope that it would be used again. That's hope.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Constant disappointment as well.
But yeah.
Hope for sure.
True.
So true.
Be tough. Anything else you want to say about this one?
I don't think so.
All right. So we have a special follow-on. What's our next discussion going to be on?
Okay. So we're actually going to switch things up a bit. And in 2 weeks, we are going to come back to discuss the Netflix original movie of JoJo Moyes' Last Letter from Your Lover. So make sure you queue up Netflix and watch that movie before our next podcast. In the meantime, give us a fabulous review and tell everyone you know to listen to our podcast.
Until we read again.